This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio for December 31st, 2018, the last day of the year leading up to New Year's 2019. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, joined throughout the program with Paul Wearson. Before we begin our tips for New Year's celebrations tonight, we have Dennis Hart bringing us the statewide news. What are the newspapers reporting at the end of 2018, Dennis?
Thank you so very much. It's great to be here on this New Year's Eve, the last day of 2018. No, I still haven't figured out how this past year flew by so fast, but I do know what made news around Iowa this past week, so here we go. There was word last week that the federal government's partial shutdown could block federal aid for Iowa farmers hit by the trade war. The USDA said that direct payments for farmers who have not certified production, as well as farm loans and disaster assistance programs, will be put on hold starting this week and won't start up again until the government reopens. Meanwhile, a state audit released late last week showed that the Iowa Finance Authority, which has been beset by allegations of sexual harassment and financial improprieties, misspent more than $500,000 over the past 2 years. Among other things, the audit revealed that more than $300,000 of payroll-related costs were inappropriate, that more than $25,000 was misspent by IFA employees, and that more than $5,000 was improperly reimbursed. The Iowa Finance Authority was set up 4 decades ago to help efforts to expand housing for low- and moderate-income families. Also last week, Wells Fargo Bank agreed to pay $575 million as part of a multi-state settlement to resolve claims that it engaged in deceptive practices, including creating millions of unauthorized customer accounts. Iowa's share of that settlement will be around $6 million. Also last week, former Democratic Iowa Congressman and U.S. Senator John Culver died at the age of 86. Culver was elected to the U.S. House in 1964 and to the U.S. Senate 10 years later. He was the father of Chet Culver, who served as Iowa governor from 2007 to 2011. Meanwhile, in Des Moines, a man and woman were found dead on the city's northeast side on Friday afternoon. Hours later, a Des Moines man was charged with 2 counts of killing his own mother and his uncle. 30-year-old Joshua Lee Adams was accused in the killings of 49-year-old Tracy Lynn Adams and 54-year-old Gaylord George Jolly Jr. The victims had been stabbed. The two bodies were found inside a home in the 3900 block of East 26th Street. The deaths were the city's 12th and 13th homicides of the year, compared with 25 homicides last year. Also last week, there was a report that the mother of Molly Tibbetts, the University of Iowa student whose disappearance and killing attracted national attention, had taken in the son of Mexican immigrants who had worked with her daughter's accused killer. The Washington Post reported that Laura Calderwood had brought 17-year-old Ulysses Felix into her home. His parents had worked alongside murder suspect Christian Bahena Rivera at a dairy farm in Brooklyn, Iowa. After Bahena Rivera's arrest, Ulysses' parents fled town and left their son behind. And last week, the lawyer for the man accused in the 1979 stabbing death of an eastern Iowa teenager waived his right to a preliminary hearing. His lawyer said 64-year-old Jerry Lynn Burns will plead not guilty to killing 18-year-old Michelle Martinko. Also last week, 3 former managers for the University of Iowa Police Force claimed in lawsuits that their jobs were eliminated as part of what they called a culture of discrimination against older workers and other protected employees. The lawsuits allege the university ignored complaints about discriminatory hiring and promotion practices under Department of Public Safety Director Scott Beckner, whose $200,000 salary makes him the highest paid police official in Iowa. Meanwhile, a federal board approved a request by students at Grinnell College to end their effort to expand a union representing student workers. The National Labor Relations Board approved the withdrawal of the union petition. Grinnell students had voted to expand a union of food service workers to include all student employees, but the college sought a board review. The students then withdrew their request, fearing that a board appointed by President Trump would side with Grinnell and set a precedent that would hurt unionization efforts at colleges across the country. Also last week, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Cedar Rapids alleged that thousands of individuals and businesses were the victims of a large-scale scheme in which ordinary corn and soybeans were fraudulently marketed nationwide as certified organic. The allegations involve Randy Constant, who owned an Iowa grain brokerage, and 3 others who have pleaded guilty and are waiting to be sentenced. Constant acknowledged that he had sold $142 million of corn, soybeans, and wheat that were not organic over a more than 7-year period. Meanwhile, this past Saturday night, One person died and another was injured when a speeding driver crashed into the back of a car on Interstate 80 near the East Mixmaster in Des Moines. In Dubuque County, he was a passenger in, was involved in a crash with another vehicle. The fatal victim was identified as 17-year-old J.C. M. Payne. The sheriff's office said the crash took place north of Highway 151. And an eastern Iowa woman died last week after a deer smashed through the windshield of the vehicle she was in. 57-year-old Donna Kathleen Smith of Walford was a passenger in a vehicle heading eastbound on Highway 30 near Tama when the vehicle collided with the animal. The SUV's driver was not injured. And last week, a northwestern Illinois police officer shot and wounded an Iowa man after an attempted traffic stop. The shooting took place in Silvis, Illinois, just east of Moline in the Quad Cities area. Authorities said a 24-year-old man from Davenport was shot in the leg when the officer fired at a fleeing vehicle, which crashed shortly afterward. The Iowa man was wanted on a federal arrest warrant issued last month. In Sioux City, two men were injured in an explosion at a city landfill. Emergency responders found that the explosion and fire had damaged an office area where trucks weigh the garbage they're hauling. In Des Moines, a man was arrested after police found a dog that had been stabbed to death with a pocket knife inside a residence on the city's southeast side. 33-year-old Martell Dwayne Holloway Simpson was charged with animal torture. His wife told authorities he is a paranoid schizophrenic. Also last week, a Des Moines man was arrested after failing to appear at a sentencing hearing for a case in which authorities said he fled the scene of an accident after he hit a pedestrian while he was riding his motorcycle. 55-year-old William Eugene Childs was set to be sentenced for charges including leaving the scene of an accident and possession of a controlled substance. Another story last week involved a grocery store on Des Moines' south side and an SUV. The SUV hit the grocery store building, causing significant damage to the structure and storefront of the B&B Grocery, Meat and Deli on Southeast 6th Street and Hartford Avenue in Des Moines. The driver suffered minor injuries, but no one inside the store was injured. Meanwhile, the clock started ticking last week for the YMCA of Greater Des Moines to decide its future in Ankeny. The Ankeny Community School District has given the Y until the end of June in 2020 to move out of the space it has occupied in the Northview Middle School since 1989. The Y's leaders are now assessing what the next version of the Ankeny Y should look like. In Coralville, a judge rejected the city of Coralville's request to build a new railroad crossing to accommodate future development near the Coral Ridge Mall. The judge sided with the Iowa Interstate Railroad, which opposed the plan to establish the crossing near a Lowe's west of Coral Ridge Avenue. Meanwhile, Standard & Poor's lowered its bond rating for Coralville because of the city's Iowa Arena financing plan. That arena is expected to open in 2020 and be the home for University of Iowa volleyball games and concerts. There was also some of what you might call good news around the state last week. For starters, the state of Iowa celebrated a birthday, its own birthday. Iowa turned 172 years old last Friday. It became the 29th state in the United States on December 28, 1846. Then there was word that a new attraction will soon be coming to Ankeny's Springwood Nine Theater, an indoor trampoline park that will also feature a rock climbing wall, an obstacle course, and a zip line. Meanwhile, the Des Moines Register ran a feature story about a newcomer to Des Moines who wants to transform the lives of Iowans through technology education. Antoinette Stevens established the Black Urban Professionals of Des Moines and started a nonprofit called Reboot Iowa. She wants to find ways to reach adults interested in learning about technology and plans to lead workshops throughout the year that focus on entry-level programming and other tech issues. And there was a story that a Southeast Polk High School teacher was surprised with word that he's one of a handful of teachers in the state being recognized for outstanding work in agriculture education. Matthew Eddy is among seven Iowa ag teachers named as finalists for Nationwide's Golden Owl Award. Each finalist won a $500 prize, and Eddie is now eligible for the $3,000 grand prize. He is a member of the National FFA Board of Directors, and he is involved in developing curriculum for agriculture sciences. And before we go, there's one more story of note from last week's news, and I'm just guessing you've already heard it. As you know, Iowa State University's football team played a bowl game this past Friday night, and as you know, the Cyclones lost that Alamo Bowl game in San Antonio. The final score was Washington State 28, Iowa State 26. It was a tough ending to the season for ISU coach Matt Campbell's Cyclones, but it did not diminish the team's accomplishments this past season, winning eight games, including six, in the Big 12 Conference. And that is your summary of the past week's news from around the state of Iowa. This being New Year's Eve, it's also my last summary of this year, 2018. But one of my New Year's resolutions for 2019 includes coming right back here on Friday with news about what happens this week in Ames. Between now and then, I wish you, me, and all of us the happiest and healthiest 2019 any of us can imagine. And however and wherever you spend this New Year's Eve, please do your best to be safe so that we can both be right back here on Friday. Happy New Year.
From the High Society Big Band. And they're going to be playing for the Red Friars Dance at the Moose Lodge tonight.
That's right. The Red Friars Dance is one of the traditions of New Year's in Ames, and I'm pleased to announce they're inviting the public to join them for dinner and dancing to familiar old songs and some new ones that they're preparing for their new CD. To introduce this band to people who aren't familiar with it, we have a few words from the band's artistic director, Kathy Klein.
I'm Kathy Klein, and I'm one of the original members, or the only original member now, of the High Society Big Band.
Between 1993 and 1994, we had Laurie Pettigal, John Bassard, and a couple other Iowa State professors came down to our community band and asked who would be interested in playing in a big band with them. They had started it a few years back, and they wanted some more players for the band, and so we started playing.
And to join this band, you need to audition.
You do have
to. You can't just walk in off the street and say, I want to be part of this great project.
That's correct.
You have to have some musical ability.
Absolutely.
And as music director, what are your duties? What do you have to be responsible for?
Choosing the music that we play. Usually we ask the clientele what type of music they want.
Is the band membership fairly stable? Are there people who have been there years and years? Or?
A few that have been with us, you know, for a long time. But we do have some new people now.
Well, how long have you personally been in the band?
Since it started.
So you're a founder?
Yeah.
How often does the band play during the year?
On an average, maybe between one time a month. And the rest of the time we practice, you know, we practice at Ballard Creek in Huxley.
Wow. And tell us about the kind of music you like to play.
Oh, we play all kinds of music, mostly 20s, 30s, and 40s, but we do have some 50s and 60s. Yeah, all kinds of big band sounds.
So if we talked about, Begin the Beguine and songs like that. We talk about the 40s and 50s. And, you know, I was born in 1943, so when I was coming up, right before rock and roll took over the airwaves, I remember listening to Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all kinds of novelty tunes, Spike Jones Band, and, of course, Count Basie and all the great bands. In fact, I was honored to, I was in New York, and I went to the Rainbow Room at NBC, and there was, it was wonderful, Duke Ellington and his orchestra live.
Wow. We play some Duke Ellington music, too, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do, because, you know, these people produce all kinds of great standard songs that are just part of the American genre. And when you play that, you must have an audience that really responds to that sort of thing.
We do. They like that type of music. Yeah.
And so you're talking about people my age and younger, and maybe people discovering this for the first time. If you have this dance out there at the Moose Lodge, and what sort of profile do you think of when you think of the audience out there? There's a wide range of ages probably that come to that dance.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we encourage that.
And you have young people discovering this music and older people to whom it brings back their youth and their memories and all the things that were significant events in their life, like the prom and growing up, and they get back in touch with that. If someone had to say, Kathy, what's your favorite song from the playing list that you generally work with, What would it be? Is that going to tie you down to a real tough choice?
It is, because I love all the music that we play. The one that's requested, of course, we play most of the time is In the Mood.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Miller.
That's right, Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller from Clarinda, Iowa, who died in a plane crash during the war.
Kathy didn't give us the basic information for the Red Friars Dance. It's at the Moose Lodge, which is on Highway 69, just north of Ada Hayden, from 9 p.m. to 12:15 a.m. For details, I think you'd better consult Red Friars Dance Club Facebook page. We'll have a link to it on the KHOI website as well. It looks like you don't need reservations. I was talking to Marcus Johnson from Mucky Duck Pub about how they'll be celebrating this year. I had reason to look up some of those traditions, like why the ball drop started and why we sing Auld Lang Syne in America.
Okay, now, I give up. tell us.
I'll tell you.
To find out. Okay.
I'm glad you asked, and I do think it's a neat story. It's also a good introduction to why Marcus told me about his plans for New Year's at Mucky Duck Pub. So here's the story. In 1904, the New York Times moved to a new building in central Manhattan and got the area in front of it renamed Times Square. So at New Year's 1904, they had a big party on the square with gigantic fireworks display.
Well, fireworks in downtown Manhattan, what? That sounds dangerous.
That's what the fire chief thought, too. So the fire department banned fireworks in 1907, and the people planning the celebration had to come up with something else. So they built a huge wooden frame ball and lit it with 100 light bulbs. Then they hoisted it to the top of a flagpole and let it down at midnight. That was the first ball drop. But they have done it ever since with upgrades. It now weighs 12,000 pounds.
Wow. So when did they start singing Auld Lang Syne?
I really love that one because it's a radio story. On December 31st, 1929, after a pretty bad year in America, as you may recall, Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadian Orchestra came to Roosevelt Hotel in New York, where they ended their show with the Scottish sentimental tribute to past times, Robert Burns' Auld Lang Syne. Since that was the first radio broadcast of the song, it became an immediate hit. Instantly, people all over the country could hear the music at the as the people in Times Square were witnessing the ball drop at midnight. Remember, there wasn't any television, so the song was the only thing people could share from afar. Lombardo played it each year until 1976, and the same version is still played on loudspeakers in Times Square today.
This is Guy Lombardo adding the musical postscript to your Swing Around the Clock as we grab on from the grill room of the Hotel Roosevelt in New York City with the Royal Canadian sentiment for every day of the new year. Speaking for all the fans who have joined hands in sending New Year's greetings around the world from all around America.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to some of the traditions of New Year's Eve, including an original Guy Lombardo broadcast of Auld Lang Syne in Times Square. Our next guest will be telling us about something new in Ames, and later we'll turn to events in the surrounding area, ending as Crystal Davis from the Ames Chamber of Commerce gives us the last word on what to look for in Ames tonight and a preview of what will be going on in January of next year. Stay tuned to find out. But first, let's hear what's happening at the Mucky. I'm here with Marcus Johnson, proprietor of Mucky Duck Pub, who, those of you who listened last week, may have heard talking about Boxing Day and Boxing Day foods and how that holiday is celebrated in Great Britain. And now we have New Year's. So what are you doing for New Year's at the Mucky Duck?
Well, rather than just bounce right into what we're doing for New Year's, I better give you a little bit of history as to what we've done in the past. I think New Year's is one of those types of events or occasions where one has to either go all out and really make a big effort or basically don't do anything at all. And for the first couple of years, we really didn't do anything. We decided that we weren't really a mainstream destination for New Year's Eve. And in that respect, we shut our doors early. We closed the kitchen, I think about 8:30, and closed the bar like about 9:00, figuring people would want to go downtown or to, somewhere a little bit more central. The first few years, we did that. We found that we had, a few people, not many, a few people knocking on the door like at 10:30, wondering where the party was. And we had to say, no, sorry, we're not open tonight. And so that got me thinking, those numbers kind of grew for the first 2 or 3 years. And so last year was the first year we actually stayed open till midnight. And we had a kind of a low-key celebration there, played some games and just drank some champagne at midnight and sang some songs and tried to do sort of community thing that we like to do at the Mucky Duck. We're all about community there and everybody being involved. I love live music, but in many cases I prefer it if my customers can actually participate in that process rather than just watch something. And so that to me is community. And I think I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here at KHOI because I know you guys are all about community too. We just played games and sang songs and had a little bit of a knees up, really.
And speaking of singing songs, I presume you sang that beloved New Year's song by Robert Burns.
Of course, yes. Of course, we love to sing at the Mucky Duck.
Yes, and yeah. And I do all of our listeners know what that song is? I guess we better not try to sing it right now on the radio.
Are you sure? Because we can.
Auld Lang Syne.
And actually, if anyone's interested in more Burns poetry or songs, then we're just to do a shameless bit of promotion here, which I'll also be doing on Lorna Donna show next week, I think, or 2 weeks from now. But we're having a Burns night supper in January, January 25th. So it's just since you got me on the subject of Burns, I thought I'd just mention that.
So can you be any more specific about your New Year's plans for this year?
Well, I can. Did you ever feel not very connected with the sort of celebrations they do in Times Square?
Yes, actually.
Okay, because I certainly don't feel terribly connected with it. I, to be honest, don't really associate with the personalities there very much. I'm obviously not a native Iowan, but I think of myself as a kind of a Midwesterner now, and watching people, 1,000 miles away, in a big city celebrating New Year's Eve, it just doesn't really connect with me. And what's more, I've lived here 22 years, I think, roughly, and I still don't quite understand the whole ball thing. So I'm not quite sure what that's all about. I did try Googling it, and it didn't really help much. So I'm kind of missing something with that whole thing. That coupled with the fact that it's a whole time zone off, you know, I just think there's something more that could be done locally. And that's when I got chatting to a friend of mine, and we were wondering what we could do that might be a little bit different and a little bit off the wall. And we came up with an idea. And so, we're going to make our own ball, and we're going to drop it in the park in the parking lot of the Mucky Duck, and it's going to be spectacular. I'm not going to say it's going to be the same quality or standard or professionalism as the one in New York, but we are going to make this great big giant ball, and I'm going to hoist it as high as I can up a pole, and we're going to drop it. It's going to be illuminated, and it's going to come down with a big crash, and that might be the start of a great tradition, or it might be the end of it. I don't know yet. We'll just wait and see.
And now maybe you can answer the question that I have about the ball that they drop in Times Square, which I read recently was 12,000 pounds. I presume that when they drop it, it's still attached to the steel cable. Now, will yours still be attached? You're not going to break it apart when you drop it.
Ours is going to not be attached. It's going to be detached.
So it's going to be a really spectacular drop.
I hope so, yes. It's going to be illuminated, and when it hits the ground, it's going to break, basically.
Well, that'll be very interesting. Where are the cars going to be?
At least 20 feet away. Yep.
But backing out over the debris?
Oh, no, no. No, it's going to be off the main parking lot towards the castle. If anyone knows the property, they'll know the castle that I purchased from Ryman Gardens a few years ago, and it's going to be close to the castle. And we're obviously going to put, you know, I'm very environmentally conscious. We're not going to allow this to create any contamination of the environment or anything like that. So it will all be contained.
So a unique experience for New Year's Eve.
I really hope so. I've got to finish building it, and I'm not going to say things can't go wrong, but this is the intention is to create a unique experience at the Mucky Duck for New Year's Eve, and just a substitute for watching those people in New York. Not that I have anything against them, but I think we'll be happier doing our own thing here in Iowa. Obviously, that's the highlight of the evening, and then, you know, throughout the night, we're going to be playing games inside and listening to music and singing songs and things like that. And, of course, there'll be some bubbly for the midnight hour as well.
Well, thank you. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Get out there and enjoy New Year's Eve. And the classic sort of stereotype of Britons on New Year's Eve is that the English sit at home watching the Scottish enjoy themselves for New Year's Eve. So that's a little tidbit for my Scottish friends out there. don't be the English on New Year's Eve. Actually, get out of the house and come and enjoy yourself. Doesn't have to be at the Mucky Duck. Just get out there and enjoy yourself somewhere.
This is KHOI Community Radio with Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, exploring the traditions of New Year's Eve as people in our listening area are making final plans for tonight's celebration.
And speaking of final plans, our new local talk reporter, Joy Bead, had a special announcement about what to think about when the party's over.
We at KHOI want to wish everyone a Happy New Year and remind our communities while we ring in the new year in 2018 that impaired driving is 100% preventable. Please take advantage of the many options for getting home safely. Plan ahead and have a designated non-drinking driver. Using public transportation, rideshare, or a taxi if plans include alcohol. Buckle up every time. Wearing a seatbelt is the best defense against a drunk driver. Take away the car keys from anyone who attempts to drive drunk. People may get upset, but they will thank you later. If you see a person's driving is erratic, pull over and call 911. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD, will be out in full force of the law enforcement efforts to protect our roadways through the New Year holidays. take personal responsibility for keeping our shared roadways safe by planning ahead to get home safely if your night includes alcohol. MAD wants everyone to come home safely for the holidays and every day throughout the year. Spread the word. MAD has helped save more than 350,000 lives. Reduce drunk driving deaths by more than 50% and promote designating a non-drinking driver. MAD's campaign to eliminate drunk driving calls for law enforcement support, ignition interlocks for all offenders, and advanced vehicle technology. MAD has provided support services to nearly 1 million drunk and drug driving victims and survivors at no charge through local victim advocacies and a 24-hour victim helpline. You can call 1-877-MADD-HELP, H-E-L-P, or visit www.mad.org or call 1-877-ASK-MAD.
At this stage in the program, we usually feature performers at various venues in our listening area for New Year's Eve. But this year, we made an interesting discovery when we searched New Year's Eve celebrations in Ames. There was only one listed closer than Ankeny, and that was the new bed and breakfast Raspberry Inn, a large house located on 72 acres just west of Ames. When I called, they still had a room available for tonight, as well as several dinner reservations. This, of course, is one solution to not driving after drinking. When I called the owners, Brad and Gina Perkins, they offered to come into the studio for interviews yesterday. I was curious about what kind of New Year's Eve entertainment they had in mind. I first discovered Raspberry Hill B&B when I was looking for places that were having New Year's parties. And amazingly, that was the only one I found listed.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
So when did you decide you were going to have a New Year's party?
We kind of do a lot of things on the spur of the moment. We are very family focused, and we kind of like the idea of having a multi-generational gathering and the celebration of the New Year.
Does having a B&B have anything to do with helping people not worry about designated drivers?
Well, we have some folks that are staying. You know, the options there. Since we're focused on family-friendly, we're not going to have a whole lot of alcohol there. And it's really bring your own if you want to.
Like a champagne or wine.
You know, if someone wants to have a wine with dinner, we don't have an alcohol license to sell, so we're not selling, but it is a bed and breakfast, so anyone's able to bring their own things in. So we encourage people to do that if they want to.
What do you have planned? What kind of dinner? What kind of activities?
Well, we have the Cornucopia Restaurant, which is only a mile as the crow flies from our bed and breakfast. They're providing dinner. You know, they've got a choice of steak or pork, a vegetarian choice, a salmon, if you want. You know, really, really nice dinners.
Elegant, yeah.
Yeah, elegant choices. And then after that, that's when we get into
some more activities. We also wanted to support local business. They just opened in July also, and they're a family-run business, and we wanted to support that and kind of work together. And that was a neat opportunity for us to share in that. We are also going to be having some really fun activities. We're going to be having live music. We also are going to be having a DJ and disco lights. And we're going to have some kind of fun, goofy activities to do and compete. And, we can have some fun bingo. And we're going to have a balloon drop in the evening. And I think we're also going to have maybe a few just simple fireworks and just dance the night away. We have a big open hall for dancing and enjoying some social time.
Tell me a little bit more about the Cornucopia.
They are just, Graham is his name. He came over from Europe, and he's just a very nice gentleman. And we met probably a couple weeks ago and decided that we'd like to do this kind of event and share in the opportunity to do that together. And he's just kind of starting his thoughts on catering. So we'll be his first caterer, I think. And just excited about the elegant side. He's going to have appetizers and a salad and then the main and then a dessert that he's making.
And you say he came from Europe where?
That is a very good question. Do you remember, Brad?
I thought it was England, but
England, maybe. He has a really fun accent.
We were looking for someone, since we don't have a commercial kitchen to do dinners and cook out of our place. We're allowed to do breakfast, but you know, or don't have a catering license. So we're looking for someone local to do dinners like this, and we met him and talked with him, and he had just opened, and I drive by his business every day on the way to Iowa State where I teach, so seemed like a good fit since he was so close to us. So we stopped in, chatted with him. You know, this is going to be our first attempt at it, and it's just nice to have the option. If someone wanted to come to our place and have a dinner or have a family gathering, with them being so close, it seems like it's a good option to enhance their stay.
Mm-hmm. And where is a cornucopia located?
It's West Lincoln Way, just on the Boone side of the county line.
So, new restaurant, new B&B, both.
Yes.
Yes.
We're both the same age.
Yeah.
And we're introducing you both to the KHOI listeners at
Absolutely.
The same time.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
And actually, I'd like to have his phone number because, coincidentally, earlier in the program, we're also talking with a British restaurant owner.
Fascinating.
Marcus Johnson at the Mucky Duck Pub. And they are having a ball drop, not a balloon drop,
a ball drop. Balloons are a lot more fun for the kiddos and things of that nature on our side. We have five kiddos, and they're having a good time blowing them up.
Now, I noticed on your website you had just three rooms that were
available.
Available.
For the night, yeah.
Well, if we're going to do individual groups, we have three showers. You know, one on each floor, the upper level, main level, and lower level. So when we're renting it out to individuals, we can do, you know, three different groups because we don't want anyone sharing bathroom and shower.
No.
But let's say that you had a family gathering and you wanted to rent the whole house out and we weren't there for the evening. That's been a pretty popular way to rent things out. Well, then we can have up to 15 people in beds for that. So there's a lot more rooms. It's just when we're doing individual parties, we just do three different groups.
On his way out the door, Brad mentioned that although they don't have any more dinners or rooms available for this evening, anyone who wants to come in just for the entertainment, including the balloon drop, can get tickets at the door after 8:30. Check on their Facebook page and on their website, our website, for further information. I think you have to call them to find out the details. Since we're counting on Crystal Davis, who will be our guest from the Ames Chamber of Commerce, to give us the latest report on festivities in Ames, we'd like to go to an even more rural area where a traditional New Year's Eve celebration will be going on, and that's at Lake Robbins Ballroom. Some of our regular listeners may remember when Paul and I took a road trip out there a few years ago. It was struggling to continue as the last regularly operating ballroom in Iowa. So I wondered if they had anything scheduled for tonight. I was happy to reach Lynn Wilkinson, the owner, who told me about their plans. We decided to contact Lynn Wilkinson, who's the owner of the Robbins Ballroom, which is a very special place. It's the only existing ballroom in Iowa that is actually having ballroom dancing every week. And so we wondered if this very interesting place, very special place, is going to have a New Year's celebration this year.
We are dancing New Year's Eve. We're doing the traditional big band. We have Galen Sudik Orchestra coming in. It's an 11-piece orchestra, big band music. The doors are going to open up at 7 p.m. The dance is 8:30 to 12:30. Included in the price is the early birds get soup and sandwich. Then we bring snacks out all night long. We keep changing them out and making them different. And we have them spaced around the ballroom, so you have to kind of table hop to find what's next coming out and stuff. And then we have hats and horns and a champagne toast and a momentum for you to take home. And then we will have a continental breakfast at the end of the night. This is all for the price. The only thing you'd have to buy is your drinks at the bar.
I have a couple questions about that. One is I just want to let our listeners know we can't mention the exact price, but we can tell you how you can find it, which would be to go to the website, which we'll have listed on our website, khoifm.org. Or what is your website address?
It's lakerobbins.com.
Yes. Thank you, and have a very happy New Year.
Oh, well, thank you, and you too.
Seven, that's the time we leave at seven.
At seven,
I'll be waking up for heaven.
For heaven, counting every mile, a rainbow track that takes me back.
Getting back to Ames, we have Crystal Davis here with us to give us this long-awaited update on what's happening in Ames. Hi, Crystal. Well, it's so great to have you with us. Please tell me what you found.
Well, yeah. So Susan and I work at the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, and so we love promoting Ames and what's happening in Ames and around our Central Iowa community. And so, first of all, there's still some celebrating to do in 2018, and so I thought I'd share a little bit about what's happening around town for New Year's Eve celebrations, if folks are still wanting to go. And so we've got some options, like at the Iowa State's the Iowa Stater, which is the restaurant inside the Gateway Hotel and Conference Center. They're having their prime rib dinner special from 4 to 10 p.m. tonight. And so you can check that out and maybe give them a call ahead of time to see what if you need reservations. But they'll be having a delicious meal there. Also, right down here in downtown Ames at Della Vitti, they're having their New Year's Eve party. It starts at 5 p.m. tonight. And I would also give them a call at Della Vitti and check and see how their tickets are going. But they have an event that includes an appetizer buffet, free champagne toast at midnight, and they're having live music featuring Kevin Bonick. And I apologize if I said that wrong. There's also a new event going on at Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast, which is one of our newest bed and breakfast entities here in town. New Year's Eve celebration. They are partnering with another local restaurant, the Cornucopia. They're going to have a formal dinner catered by the Cornucopia, and then they're going to switch over after dinner to dancing with live music, and that begins at 7 p.m. And again, we encourage you to call Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast and see how they're doing on reservations. Jumping around back downtown, you can check out to see if there's any more of a five-course New Year's Eve dinner with Bar La Tosca, and they will also have wine pairings available to go with that special menu. And if you're not into that New Year's Eve dinner, you can also have the regular menu at Bar La Tosca tonight as well. And then kind of up in the Somerset division, you can check out at Plus 39, the restaurant market and cantina there. They're having a New Year's Eve party from starting at 7:30. And their package includes a welcome cocktail, buffet appetizers, a five-course meal followed by with a sip of Prosecco. And they will also feature a DJ for dancing and entertainment later on. So those are just some of the New Year's Eve events that we know about right now. And, you know, if you're looking for them, we encourage you to go to our website at thinkames.com. We have a special tab, a page called Holidays. You can click on that and see what we've got, all the events we just mentioned. You know, we struggle ourselves trying to find events, so we encourage you to look up websites as well as go to social media for some of these organizations. They've got a lot of their information there on Facebook as well. So those are good places to check out for details on that.
Yeah, I guess you had some of the same problems that we did, but you found Raspberry Hill. That's funny because we had a long segment on Raspberry Hill before you came in.
Yeah.
So it's just shows what good publicity will do for you.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we encourage you to check out websites, social media, and don't hesitate to call in. And just because you think it's New Year's Eve already doesn't mean there's probably space and they'd love to have you. So stick around in town and celebrate here in Ames.
Yes. And now you have some report for next month, right?
I know. Well,
next year.
Happy 2019. Right. So, you know, celebrate the new and the old tonight. And then there's a lot of things happening. So especially things outside, even though it's a little chilly and maybe some of us wish there was a little more snow on the ground. There's a lot of things happening. So we encourage you to check out Story County Conservation. For example, has a lot of things outside. And starting in January, they've got what they've called a Beat the Blues Winter Marathon. And it goes through March. And this is kind of a do-your-own-pace a full marathon, 26 miles, where you can run, ski, snowshoe, or bike outdoors at your own pace. And you can check out their website, and they've got a place where you can log in and just kind of encourage you to get outside and be active and have a fun time doing it as you do their marathon. Also, on Thursday, January 3rd, Ames Park and Rec has a special going on at the municipal pool from 1 to 3. If you come to the pool wearing your favorite NFL team apparel, you can get in for a reduced price. So a fun thing to do to fill your afternoon and celebrate the NFL teams as well. Also, going on this month, the Story County Conservation also has Winter Hike Series going on. And so they've got – this is sponsored by Story County Conservation and the Outdoor Alliance of Story County. And they've got different places where you can trek around throughout the county. So check that out. And it's on – it goes all through the month of January on that. If you're interested in a snowshoe hike as well, again, keeping you outside, Story County Conservation also has that going on Friday, January 11th. They do ask for registration, so again, give them a call and check out what's going on. And they do help you learn about snowshoeing as well as provide the equipment to do that. So if you've always wanted to try, now's a good time to check that out. Our friend Art Saccardi, who has Saccardi Art Glass, is offering a workshop on January 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can make your own glass marble. And so this is a great experience where it takes about 20 minutes. You are assisted by an official glass blower, and so what a great idea to go out and check his workshop and make something.
Are these real marbles?
These are real marbles.
Like we used to play with as children?
Absolutely. And they say they're approximately 1.5 inches to 1¾ inches in diameter. So you really do get to work with glass and kind of learn, see a little bit about the art of glass blowing. So, yeah, so check it out. And I've met Art. He's great and he's very talented. So a fun thing to do on Saturday, January 12th. Also, for those of you who like to be outside at night, Seven Oaks Recreation is having their late night ski, snowboard, and tubing event January 12th. It'll begin at 8 p.m. and goes till midnight. And they're going to – so you can do all this under the stars. They're going to have a bonfire, a DJ, have free pop and pizza. So if you – you know, kind of a fun thing to do at night if you like snow tubing and –
And they have snow when even the rest of us don't.
Absolutely. They can make their own snow. They sure can. And it's quite fun out there. So even if you don't, if you just want to take your kids or your family, you can still be there and watch and sit by the fire and enjoy that. Also coming up, an annual tradition in January is the Iowa State University's Madrigal Dinner. And this is going to be January 18th and 19th, starting at 5:30 p.m. in the Great Hall at Memorial Union. And so this is will be their 54th annual dinner, featuring the Iowa State singers. And you can come and discover the food and the music and the ancient traditions of merry old England. And so this is a fun event, and you'll really enjoy that. So we encourage you to look up ISU Madrigal Dinner and check out what they have for seating. So fun time.
I thought in past years it was sometimes in December. This is a much better time.
Much better time, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about that, and it's quite fun. So for all you teenagers, the Harry Potter Yule Ball is coming up. So this is being hosted by the Ames Public Library. It's Saturday, January 19th, and it you know, I said teenagers, but it's really open to all ages. So what they're going to do is they encourage costumes, and they're going to have music, dancing, snacks, and activities all themed around Harry Potter and the Yule Ball. And so they'll have music, and all ages are invited from 6:30 to 8, and then teens only from 8 to 9:30. So what a great event yes. for all of you that love Harry Potter. So, yeah, that'll be super fun. You know, our local Ames area amateur astronomers are having their 16 Splendid Small Star Systems presentation. So this is Saturday, January 19th, starting at 7 o'clock, and they'll be out at McFarland Park. This program is presented by Roger Berger, and they're going to talk about they'll have telescopes, some binoculars and really talk to you about double stars, how they're detected, and how you can start observing and looking at astronomy and stars yourself.
Well, I'm pretty sure they have an observatory out there also, but this is actually in the building at the McFarland Park, isn't it?
Right. They're saying that it's there, and all of these are there unless noted. But
in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
It's inside.
Right.
Inside.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to kind of show you how to do it and learn how to use the telescopes and binoculars so you can do that at home too. So what fun. Also, at the Ames Public Library, kind of following along the same line, on Thursday, January 24th at 7 p.m., Dr. Sam Warmerly is going to present Constellations, Stories, and Folklore about the Winter Skies. And so this is open, free and open to all the public, and we encourage you to check that out as well at the Ames Public Library. Something kind of new and different. The third annual Burns Dinner. This will be Friday, January 25th at Ryman Gardens, and this is hosted by the Mucky Duck Pub. So kind of celebrating the Plowman's Poet and all things Scottish. So be sure to check that out at the Mucky Duck. So we have plenty to do in January to start your new year off. We encourage you to go to thinkames.com and check out our event calendar for many more events that we didn't have time to mention.
Well, thank you, Crystal.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming in on this already busy day.
I know. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and to all of you.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Dennis Hart, Kathy Klein, Marcus Johnson, Joy Beadleson, a.k.a. Joy B., Brad and Gina Perkins, Lynn Wilkinson, and Crystal Davis. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. There are also rebroadcasts of this morning's show at noon and 7 p.m. Local Talk was engineered by Aladdin. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was from High Society Big Band from their first recording, High Society Big Band. We also heard Auld Lang Syne played by Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop, as well as a show. Now, if you'd like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow Donate button.
If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah.